Thank you for tuning in to the Radio Bible Course and our study of the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 33. After naming six people of faith, the writer says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, received promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and scourging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering over deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, though well attested by their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had foreseen something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. The writer seemed to have had in mind Daniel, who stopped the mouths of lions. It certainly sounds like Daniel from chapter 6 of his prophecy. Daniel was one of three presidents appointed by King Darius over the whole kingdom. He was so superior in his faithfulness and his attitude that other leaders became jealous and they plotted against him. They encouraged the passing of a law carrying death in the lion's den for anyone praying to a god in a 30-day period. We read in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he went to his house where his window was open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed on his knees three times a day and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Now, here was a man committed to God without thought for himself. He knew the true God and could not deny him. The king was distressed and tried to rescue Daniel. But the law of the Medes and the Persians could not be changed. So we read in verse 18 that Daniel was cast into the den of lions. When the king arrived the next morning to check on him, Daniel said, "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths." Then the king had his accusers thrown in, and they were torn apart. Daniel's faith in God couldn't be changed by laws or threats. He was a believer who set standards for himself, whether others liked it or not, and he did not waver. Now in verse 34 of Hebrews 11, we read of some who quenched raging fire. This may refer to three young Jews in leadership positions who refused to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's golden image in the province of Babylon under threat of a fiery furnace. These men also were so committed to doing God's will that they feared not for their own lives. And if it meant dying in a fiery furnace, so be it. And the result was that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when told that they would be thrown into the fiery furnace, told the king, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Well, that made the king furious, and he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than normal and had the three Jews thrown in. The scripture tells us that the men who threw them in died from the heat. But not a hair was singed on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the king looked in later, he was astonished. He said, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the fire unhurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." These men of faith yielded their bodies rather than forsake their Creator. To them, God was far more important than life. They had promises for another life, and that's why they were able to hold to their faith. Now, so do we have promises of another life. Too often we forget that because people are not dying for the faith about us, that this life is not that important, not compared to the next life, which is eternal. So our lives here are 70, or plus and minus a few more. But the next life is to be with God in Jesus Christ forever and ever. Now in verse 35 we are told how faith raised the dead of certain women. The account of one of them is found in 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah the prophet had contact with her in the city of Zarephath, located between Tyre and Sidon, near the coast. Elijah asked her to give him water and some bread, and she said, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little bit of oil in a jug." And she said, "I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Well, Elijah said, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have been said, but first make a small cake of bread for me. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." Well, she went away and did as Elijah had told her, and there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word the Lord had spoken by Elijah. Well, now we come to the story about the dead being raised. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned that house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" And then he stretched himself out on the boy 3 times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down to the room into the house, and he gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." A similar Old Testament story concerns the life of Elisha, the successor of Elijah. That's found in 2 Kings chapter 4, where the son of a woman of Shunem, who had shown hospitality to the prophet, had died following an injury to his head. She took her dead son to Elijah, and Elijah saw the dead boy lying on a couch, and he went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes, and he returned him to his mother. Here again, the prophets of God were able to do great things through faith. In verse 34 of Hebrews 11, the writer talks about someone who won strength out of weakness. He might have been referring to Abraham here. Abraham was certainly weak. He was an old man, and his wife was weak in that she could not bear children. But Abraham believed God. And God did give him a child when he was 100 years old. Abraham and Sarah may not have been in the mind of the writer to the Hebrews, but he certainly would have been thinking of Hezekiah. We read in 2 Kings chapter 20 that Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." And Isaiah said, "Prepare a poultice of figs." They did so and applied it to the boil, and he recovered. People have long relied on a poultice. A poultice is a moist mass of mustard or herbs applied hot to the body for therapy. This one was a poultice of figs. Now it's interesting here that not only did God say he would heal him, but he also sent the prophet to apply a medication, which was the poultice. But here's a man of faith, who from weakness gained strength through faith. In this connection, we should not forget the Apostle Paul, who had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, he said, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me." God's grace gave him strength in his weakness, and Paul was able to go from country to country, serving Jesus Christ and preaching the glorious gospel of grace. Now here's something you'll want to write for. It's our new teaching tape brochure that lists some 25 short courses on cassette tape. These are tapes that teach. Most of these teaching tapes are verse-by-verse exposition of New Testament books. You can learn more about the Bible when you drive in your automobile or listening while you're cooking and doing other things around the house. Don't waste time. Listen to the Word of God being taught. One of those courses is unmatched in providing biblical understanding. It's called Understanding the New Testament. And people who have heard this said it's a real biblical treat and it changed their life. You'll hear the Christian faith presented as never before, and it'll change your whole orientation to the Bible. Write today for your copy of Teaching Tapes. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.